Let's turn to our scripture. Last week, as you know, Lizzie and I were in the Highlands in a mighty comfortable house with this astonishing view down Loch Linnhe. The house is relatively high up and you can see right down Loch Linnhe towards the islands of Lismore and Mull on a nice day and then out to the open ocean. It being Scotland, we had some beautiful days and some absolutely foul days. And on the foul days, and actually, truth be told, on some of the good days, I rejoiced in the comfort of an excellent armchair. And you can sit in front of this huge picture window and just watch the clouds going by and the boats coming up and down the lock. And it's rather lovely. It was great physical comfort, somewhere to be physically comfortable. There's another sort of comfort, as we all know, something of inward value, which may have outward consequences, and it's that inward comfort to which we turn our minds today. Before his death, as we heard in our gospel, Jesus said that whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. And the Apostle John tells us what he meant by that. He says, by this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, John says, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. And it's that event when the Spirit was first given, at least first given to lots of people, that we celebrate today at Whitsun. I rather like the name Whitsun, so we use it properly today. And we can think on those events with the help of the Whitsunday Collect, which we heard. The first issue the collect tackles is our understanding. How can we understand what God is saying to us? And the short answer is by the work of the Spirit. The disciples had this amazing thing to say. They, along with everyone else, knew that Jesus had died. He'd been killed by professional soldiers who were good at killing. He was definitely dead, no doubt about it. Everyone knew that bit. The amazing thing that the disciples knew that no one else did was that for Jesus, death was not the end of life. He was back. We've been hearing about it over the last few weeks. It appeared to them many, many times. And now here are the disciples, and they know all about these appearances. Can you imagine having that knowledge and no one else does? They really wanted to tell everyone who was in Jerusalem. They were afraid. And they couldn't tell all these people who were in Jerusalem for the festival because they spoke all these different languages. They were from all over the known world. The Holy Spirit sorts out that little problem of understanding. The Holy Spirit gets them to speak in ways that others could understand. The Holy Spirit makes it possible for those who do not know about Jesus to know about him. It's ultimately the Holy Spirit who opens up the truth of God to us. What happened back then shows us, I think, what can happen now, indeed what's been happening ever since in various places. Scripture tells us of the role of the Spirit in this way. The Spirit gives wisdom and revelation concerning Jesus Christ. That's Ephesians. Holy Spirit opens our eyes and teaches us. That's 1 Corinthians. The Holy Spirit repeats what God the Father and God the Son have taught so that we may understand it. That's in John. Holy Spirit, as we know, leads us into understanding all truth. There's lots of it. And Cranmer captures that, as he so often does, in just one sentence. He says this in the Collect. God didst teach the hearts of his faithful people by the sending to them the light of his Holy Spirit. Teach the hearts of his faithful people. How do we understand the scriptures? How do we understand God's truth? Through the action of the Spirit. It's not to deny the role of humans in our learning, in books, preaching, and so on. But if we want understanding, if there are times of doubt in our lives, doubt, uncertainty, is it really true? Turn to the Holy Spirit. Pray to the Holy Spirit, and understanding will come. Peter explains to the crowd what has happened. Jesus died and was brought back to life and has sent his Spirit upon everyone. Everyone could see what a wonderful gift it was to be able to understand God's message to us. Understanding that God speaks to us, that God wants us to be in a relationship with him, is a wonderful thing. It gives meaning to our lives that nothing else can give. Peter explains to the crowd that the first step in forming that relationship is to recognize that there is something to repair, something to say sorry for. The leaders were responsible for having Jesus killed, and the crowd were complicit in it. Peter tells them that they have to say sorry to God, then they'll receive the Holy Spirit in all the Spirit's fullness. The sequence, I think, is this, that the Holy Spirit helps us to understand all those languages back then, different ways now, helps us understand what's in the Bible, helps us to hear God in prayer, helps us through fellowship with Christians to see God at work. All that happens through the Spirit. And the Spirit helps us to understand the gap between us and God. We're not on the same page, as it were. A gap, I think, is one way of thinking about sin. For sin, in its simplest conception, is a disregard of God, his lordship, his desires for us. The Spirit shows us that we need to come back to God to say sorry. And God washes away all the things we've done wrong. Then we receive all the full blessings of the Holy Spirit. Cranmer captures this too. By the actions of the Spirit we may have, so he says, a right judgment on all things. Our right judgment is that we're not okay by ourselves. We fall short of the glory of God. We fall short of his intentions for us. And not just that, a right judgment actually stops us beating ourselves up about it. Trying to work too hard to buy God's favour. Instead, we turn to Christ in repentance and faith. The Spirit gives us understanding. That understanding includes a knowledge of the God deficit in our lives, our failure to worship God in all things, to acknowledge him, to follow his example and pattern in our lives. So the Spirit brings us to repentance. The Spirit did so then with the crowd, and the Spirit does so now with us. Understanding, repentance, and then there's this amazing filling with the Spirit. Churches without a charismatic tradition sometimes fail to teach this. Everyone who turns to Christ in repentance and faith is filled with the Spirit. That's how we're able to go on in the Christian life, to learn more and practice what we learn, to follow Christ more fully day by day. That filling with the Spirit may be dramatic. You may know someone like that. Or it may take place in quietness. You may have been aware of it for yourself as it happened, or may simply later have a certainty that your life depends on another agency in a way that you cannot wholly explain. Either way, the Spirit is at work. God moves in each of us according to our need, I think, not in any fixed pattern. But that filling with the Spirit happens to all who turn to Christ in repentance and faith. Having received God's forgiveness, we can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's not our own work, but the work of him who died for us and who sends the Spirit. It happens, as Cranmer says, that we may evermore rejoice in the Spirit's holy comfort through the merits of Christ Jesus our Saviour. Isn't that another lovely phrase that Cranmer gives us? We may rejoice in the Spirit's holy comfort. Better than an armchair, even one with the most glorious view. For this comfort comes from Christ and through his merit. Through the Spirit we understand, we come to repentance, and we're given that inner comfort. Let's pray again in the words of the collect. God, who as at this time didst teach the hearts of thy faithful people by the sending to them the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us by the same Spirit to have a right judgment in all things and evermore to rejoice in his holy comfort through the merits of Christ Jesus our Saviour, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the unity of the same Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen.